Are there any folks in the house God has made you so pretty, has blessed you so much that you don't need God anymore? You can make it on your own.
Dr. Tony Evans says the idea that we're self-sufficient and morally independent is very old and very dangerous.
To think you are who you are and where you are because of yourself, that is the thinking of a devil.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. The history of mankind is a history plagued with pride, power struggles, and treachery. And Dr. Evans says it's a reflection of the spiritual warfare that's been going on behind the scenes from long before humans took the stage. Today, he chronicles the events that have played a role in spiritual warfare and explains the important role you play in the battle. Let's join him.
Many, many years ago, God created a body of beings called angels. He created them like himself in that they were created spirit beings, and God is spirit. In fact, when God manifests himself in history, you always see him manifesting himself as a bright light. A bright light. The Shekinah glory was always tied to light. Because at the core of God's being is some imaginable power that shines. And so when you read about these angelic beings all through scripture, you see light tied to them. There was one angel in particular. His name was Lucifer. That means the brilliant or shining one. He looked into the mirror and saw the beauty of his creatureliness. And pride welled up in his heart so that he began to raise the question, why do I need God if I'm this pretty by myself? Unrighteousness was found in him, and then by a choice of his will, he chose to rebel against God. When Lucifer wound up with this pride, he began a plan of rebellion, a coup d'etat, if you will, in heaven. He led a revolt of the angels, and God, not willing to share his glory, Satan and his hosts were evicted from heaven because God will not have any challenges to his authority in his presence. And they were cast to a place called earth and sentenced. But God decides, no. I'm not just going to kick you out of heaven. I'm not just going to create your own place called hell. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to demonstrate to you. I'm going to let you and all the angelic world see. I'm going to let you and all the angelic world experience not only who I am, but I want to let you watch me unfold a plan right in front of your eyes that will demonstrate God is not to be trifled with. God was going to create somebody less than the angels to demonstrate, here it is, that even though you don't have angel ability, even though you don't have angel strength, even though you haven't had an angel experience, if the lesser creature will trust God, he'll go further than an angel in heaven that won't trust God. He wanted to demonstrate and show Satan, give me less ability that'll trust me, and it'll outdo you with more ability who won't trust me. You say, where you get that from? You come in Evans with stuff I ain't never heard before. Let's let David do some talking for us in Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, here's what David says. David says in Psalm chapter 8, beginning with verse 3, describing as he looks up in the heavens and he's just overwhelmed with the thought of God. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. I have a question. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you did care for him? Yet thou hast made him a little lower. Some of your Bibles say God. Others say angels. Made him a little lower than God and didst crown him with glory and majesty. Verse 6. Thou dost make him to rule over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now follow this. God comes down to Satan's home. No, it's like a team visiting another team in their home, in their house. God comes into Satan's house. That's a garbage dump. He ought not live there anyway. He comes to this garbage dump. And God says, now let me take this old rundown garbage dump and let me put my handiwork in it. And all of a sudden, the birds start going tweedledee. There were no birds, because where Satan is, birds can't sing. They lose their tune. Animals start to meander. Fish start moving all in the water, and all manner of light bursts forth. Flowers are budding, and all of this. Why? Because God re-enters the garbage dump. And then with Satan listening, he tells man, I will make man in my own image. Why? Because he made angels in his own image. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, devil and angels. I'm going to make man in charge of your house. For he will have dominion. And he will rule over the birds of the sea. And he will rule over the fish of the water. Man will run this show. In spite of the fact that you live here. When the serpent comes up to the woman and says, hath God said, Satan wants his planet back. And Adam and Eve gives it back. And guess what you and I are in the process of doing? Taking it back. That's the angelic conflict. The angelic conflict is God creating man to take it from Satan. Satan coming to Adam to take it back. Oh, I'm getting too far ahead of the story. But the story says the second Adam came. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. You ain't praying with me. Jesus Christ comes. And that's why the issue is that a man comes on the scene. God had to become a man because a man had to take it back. So, a man had to take it back. One brother hit me the other day. He says, I never noticed this before. Wherever you read in the Bible, angels are everywhere. They're all over the place. They are, because they're involved. But the angels were curious. They wonder how he gonna do this. This is a weak man. I mean, this is a weak man. How is he gonna do this? And that's why you read so many times in the Bible, 1 Peter 1:12 says, an angel's appearing down, trying to understand. How's he gonna do this? How is a weak man gonna be able to defeat this angelic foe with all of his angels called demons that have gone berserk? How is he going to do it? God paralleled the exact situation with man that he had with Lucifer. Lucifer was created a perfect being with choice. Adam was created a perfect being with choice. Of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree in the midst of the garden, you may not eat it, lest you die. Why? Because I had to give you what I gave Satan in order for the battle to be even, Stephen. Adam's homestead was called Eden. Ezekiel 28 says Lucifer's homestead was called Eden. Adam was the one who was to oversee all of God's then creation. Lucifer was the one who was to oversee all of God's angelic creation. Man is to oversee all of God's human creation. Just one thing right after another. Lucifer had direct access to God in the mountain of God. Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. An exact parallel.
Dr. Evans will come back with more of our history lesson on spiritual warfare in just a moment. Don't go away.
The threat of global catastrophe looms over us. Earthquakes, fires. It seems like the world is falling into turmoil. Are you ready to face Armageddon? Dr. Tony Evans' latest book, Thy Kingdom Come, emerges as a light amidst the sin-ridden depths of our world, guiding you through the murky waters of uncertainty. Within these insightful pages, wisdom intertwines with revelation. You'll dive deep into the mysteries of enigmatic prophecy, where solace awaits the weary soul. Dr. Tony Evans' unparalleled mastery in deciphering the complexities of Scripture will ensure clarity in the face of confusion and illuminate the path towards hope. Arm yourself against the impending storm and let not the hour of reckoning catch you unaware. Be prepared for what's to come by picking up your copy of Thy Kingdom Come at TonyEvans.org. Comes with a bonus sermon series, Staying Right with God. Do not be caught off guard.
If you're finding today's message intriguing and want to get a look at the whole picture, I encourage you to check out the complete 2-volume 12-message series that today's lesson is drawn from. It's called Spiritual Warfare. And in it, you'll not only learn about the nature and history of spiritual battles, but also how, through God, you have all the power you need to stand firm against any attack the enemy can mount against your marriage, health, career, or finances, virtually any area of your life. You can get your own copy of Spiritual Warfare on CD or digital download as our gift, along with an added bonus, Tony's powerful book that refines and develops the teaching in this series, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. Just visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out, make a contribution, and we'll say thanks by sending both of these helpful and compelling resources your way. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or call 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock to assist you. I'll have that information for you again after part two of today's lesson. Here's Tony.
The Bible says there are two classifications of angels, fallen angels and elect angels. There will be two classifications of men, saved and unsaved, elect and fallen. What I'm telling you is what you're experiencing on earth has to do with something that has nothing to do with you. And that is God wanting to demonstrate it. Now, I know you have a question. It's a fair question. But it's one I can't fully answer. And that is, if God is greater than Satan, in fact, let's have a test. What's the opposite of good? What's the opposite of up? What's the opposite of right? What's the opposite of God? No. No. Now you don't understand, God doesn't have any opposites. There are no opposites. No. See, that's the mistake most people make. Most people say, when they say God, they say Satan, as though that is the opposite. Those two can't even be pronounced in the same sentence. Satan can only be one place at a time. God is omnipresent, all places at the same time. Satan has limited knowledge, finite knowledge. God has absolute knowledge. Satan is a created being. Ezekiel 28 says, there has never been a time when God is not. He is an eternal being. Don't ever say Satan in the same sentence with God. So you say, but if God is God then, and he's greater, why did he allow Satan to do what he does? God wanted to show him, I'm so great that I can get somebody less than you and do better. I am so great. Yeah, I could squash you out. I could get rid of you at a moment's notice. But I am so great that I can take less and make more. And by the way, that's true of your life and my life too. I believe his name was Goliath. I believe it was a young shepherd boy named David. I believe the story says he didn't know how to use all his fancy equipment. In fact, he couldn't even wear the battle gear. But I believe the story says David stepped out and says, who is this Philistine dog who who would taunt the armies of the living God. And God took the lesser in order to kill the greater. When I was over in Israel, I was talking to the Jews. And you remember in 1967, Syria and Jordan and the armies of Egypt and the armies of the Middle East and the Six-Day War came down on this little country the size of New Jersey. And in 6 days, they sent them all to flight. I was asking one of the army personnel, how in the world was this little country the size of New Jersey able to defeat in 6 days all the countries of the Middle East that were made up of millions of people? He looked at me and smiled and he says, "Mister, have you ever heard the story of David and Goliath?" God takes the lesser to embarrass the greater. And so what Paul said is, look at yourself. Not many wise, not many noble. Most of us don't have that much to brag about. But God hath taken the nothings of this world. On the other hand, he takes the somebodies and makes them nothing. He takes the Nebuchadnezzars who stand up and say, look at the great Babylon that I have built, and say, you're nothing. And that's why in the angelic conflict, the key word is grace. How many of us would go to the game if there wasn't another team coming to the game? It would be boring and it would be dull. It would have no life. We need to see somebody resisting in order to appreciate the home team. God said, Satan, I could squash you, but it won't be no fun. I want to throw TD passes and run through the line. I want to do sweeps. I want to give a reason for the crowd to shout. Oh, but when the Pittsburgh Steelers come or the 49ers come and a touchdown is thrown, you'll jump out and you'll see why. Because they demonstrated with opposition how glorious they are. So God says, I'm not going to squash you. I'm going to demonstrate to everybody watching the game, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to demonstrate why. So that he gets more glory. God allowed sin, although he doesn't cause sin. Isaiah 45:7, just as a composer of music may include discords in his song in order to create an overall pleasing effect. God is going to allow discord. He allows sin in order that his grace may be greater. Another reason is that God wants to show his hatred of sin. He must show his justice. He wants all of us to see through this angelic conflict that he is a holy, perfect God, and he does judge sin. He wants us to see his wisdom. Ephesians 3:10, it says that God does what he does so that the manifold wisdom may be made known to the angels in heaven. He wants the angels to see that he's brilliant. He can take nothings and overcome the somethings. God also wants to demonstrate his power. You don't know how powerful he is until there's opposition. Romans 9, verse 17 and 18 says, what if God, wanting to demonstrate his power, raises up Pharaoh? Same principle. God says, okay, Pharaoh, you're in a rebellious mode. Okay, well, I'm not going to just kill you. I'm going to show you something before I kill you. Okay? I'm going to let you see who I am. Because, see, if I just destroy you, you won't feel it like I want you to feel it. So come on, come on, come on. Follow Israel out here. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come on, come on. Come on, Pharaoh. Come on, Pharaoh. Yeah, you bad, you bad, you bad, you bad. Come on, come on. Keep coming. Keep coming. But then he wanted his elect children to see him too. And so they caught him between the Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army. Moses says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. And the waters start to part. Now, if I was Pharaoh, when I got to those parting waters, I'd have to stop and think. Right? I'd have to meditate or something and say, maybe we ought not go through here. But you know what? He didn't have a choice because God said, come on, come on, come on, come on, little further, little further. No, you got one guy in here yet. Bring them all in here. Because I'm going to wipe out the whole kit and caboodle of you. I'm going to demonstrate it to you and then I'm going to let my people see what I can do when they live by grace. So God not only did that, but he wanted to demonstrate the key, here's the key, that love can only be expressed through grace in order to simultaneously satisfy his demand for justice. That's a deep one. That love can only be expressed through grace in order to simultaneously address his demand for justice. You see, God can't skip sin, yet God loves you. So if he can't skip sin and yet he loves me, how can he satisfy his justice that must deal with sin and also satisfy his love? He must have a plan of grace. And so in grace, God has provided salvation for people, which means that he can justly deal with his holiness while at the same time expressing his love. And that is the manifold wisdom of God. There is no life or meaning or hope apart from him. When you walk out on God, you walked out on the only one who can help you. Some people get mad at God. I'm mad at God and I'm never going to serve him anymore. Now, like he's worse off. The worse your life is, the faster you run to him. Because there is no life or meaning or hope apart from him. And finally, God wanted to secure service out of love, not out of fear. God didn't want people serving him just because he created them and he was going to jump on them. That's why he gave Adam the tree. Do you love me enough and trust me enough to obey me? Or do you want to find your own way? And so, beloved, here we are. God created us for showtime, that the lesser may demonstrate to the greater the glory of God.
Dr. Tony Evans, encouraging us to trust God's power and presence and to do our part for the kingdom of God. And that begins with first steps, having a personal relationship with the Lord. Here's Tony on why that's so important and how to go about doing it.
In today's fast-paced, materialistic world, the need for purpose and meaning is more significant than ever. It's the key to finding genuine satisfaction, maintaining a healthy life balance, and fostering meaningful connection with others. We can find all sorts of ways to keep us busy, but ultimately, our purpose is rooted in knowing that we're here as a part of God's greater kingdom plan. When you invite Jesus Christ into your life, you experience God's transformational power and discover direction and purpose as you uncover his divine plan for your journey. If that's what you're looking for, say this simple prayer with me, but you just must mean it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I come before you now, recognizing that I am a sinner in need of your grace and forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I invite Jesus into my life today, and I ask him to come in and be my Savior and Lord. I surrender my life to you and ask that you take control. Help me to follow your teachings and live according to your will. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.
We encourage you to follow up on that prayer at tonyevans.org. Click the link at the top of the homepage that simply says Jesus. Dr. Evans has posted a video that explains God's plan of restoration, and you'll find some additional follow-up resources there as well. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Now, before we go, I want to let you know that you can get the full-length copy of today's message, including material we didn't have time to share on the air. It's called The History of the Battle, and it's just one installment in Tony's timeless series on spiritual warfare, a collection you'll find yourself going to often for hope and encouragement during your own personal battles. Don't forget, this complete 12-lesson series is yours as our thank you gift, along with the added bonus of Dr. Evans' powerful book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. They're both yours when you make a contribution to support the Alternative Broadcast Ministry. Just visit tonyevans.org to get the details and make the arrangements, or call us at 1-800-800-3222, and one of our helpful team members will assist with your resource request. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. Magicians use misdirection to shift our focus away from where the trick is actually being done. Dr. Evans contends Satan uses the same technique with us. And tomorrow, he'll show us how to see beyond that sleight of hand. Be sure to join us for that.